Unto him who loved us and washed us in his blood, forgiving us our sins and making us kings and priests, to live together with him in his kingdom, to him be glory in the church, both now and always. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, gathered this morning on the mountain of the Lord. This is a great place to be gathered together, for we have come here to see the face of the Lord, and he acknowledges us and allows us to see him face to face in his word. And St. Peter, in the word of this text this morning, and for that matter, in the words of all the readings that we have already heard this morning, Jesus comes to us to beckon us to remain faithful in his word. For as Peter declares in his own observations, that he didn't follow cleverly devised fables or stories, but he dwelt in the sure word of God, and that this word was fit for sharing. It's interesting that before the official episode of Jesus appearing on the Mount of Transfiguration, that we have some words of Jesus just prior to that Matthew 17 account. In Matthew 16, first of all, we come face to face with that event where Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And he identified himself after their word, which, as they understood it, him to be a great prophet, one to follow in the footsteps of John the Baptist, but he declares himself to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And shortly thereafter, in that same chapter, Jesus tells his disciples, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." It's in that context that we want to talk today about the Word of God that Jesus gives us, that is sure and trustworthy and worth sharing. We'd like to point out to you that on the basis of these messages from the Mount of Transfiguration, this event did three things. It did something, first of all, for Jesus. It did something for the disciples. And it does something for us, giving us a sure word worth sharing. This mountaintop experience for Jesus did something for him. On this mountain, there is a confirmation given to Jesus about the mission that he outlined in the words I just read to you, that he must go to Jerusalem there to suffer and die. And all the events that would be conspiring and inspiring and working through the love and life of Jesus. And on this holy mountain, we have these two figures, in addition to Peter, James, and John, and these Old Testament figures, Elijah, Moses. They're important because they represent the one who was the greatest lawgiver and the greatest prophet that we're saying to Jesus, go on, carry out your mission. And even the voice from the cloud, in essence, was saying, go on. This is my beloved Son, the voice said, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him. So it did something for Jesus, this event. It did something certainly for the disciples. The disciples basically had lost hope, had little hope in regards to this journey where he was going. He was going to Jerusalem to die. How could it be? Bewildered and baffled, puzzled, was the thought of their minds breaking their hearts. Now, there was hope on the mountain, hope for the journey, something they could hold on to, even though not all of it even understood. Cross or no cross, they heard the voice of Jesus. Luke says that Jesus went up to pray. And maybe it was one of those long prayers of which we too at times get weary. And the disciples became sleepy. But when they came awake, they saw it. That word of God, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But now there is hope as Jesus speaks his word. The Lord came as they were filled with fear, and he touched them. In verse 7, it states, and being filled with fear, he came and he touched them. So it does something for these weary, worried disciples. Does something for Jesus, does something for the disciples, it does something for us. We've been in the valley all week, trudging along, meeting the challenges of family, school, work. We are here today in essence saying, Lord, it's good to be here. Away from all that down there in the valley, the fighting, the vying for place and prominence and power from position. All that's down there as we fight and think about grades, breaking into peer groups, making the team, getting the promotion, getting the raise, cooking the satisfying meal, getting the house in order, bringing order to chaos, dealing with all those mundane matters down in the valley. It's enough to make one fall into a chair that's supposed to be easy in bearing what seems like the weight of the whole world on our shoulders. Yes, this event of the Transfiguration surely does something for us. We need a trip like this up the mountain to be in the presence of God. Yes, you disciples, you have it right. Prolong this hour. Let us stay here and hear the voice of God, who speaks to us his word of truth and consolation. And the voice says from the cloud, listen to him. It's interesting that in the original language, it's in the present tense, and it means be in the state of constant listening. Him be hearing. Him be hearing. That's right. This present imperative continuous action. Living in the valley requires us to keep on hearing. How many today are satisfied to eke out their living in the day-to-day battle of the valley without coming to the mountain, thinking that they can go it alone? They are the masters of their own fate. Without him, be hearing, be hearing. Sleeping and missing the glory of the mountain, he touched them. He touches us today. As we received his grace in the absolution this morning, as we will receive it in his own body and blood in the sacrament, as his special appearance to us today. And the text tells us they looked up and they saw Jesus only. Like the Greeks who came to Philip and said to Philip, we would see Jesus. It's a little slogan that's seen as a writing on many pulpits in the church. We would see Jesus. It reminds the preacher that he is there to help people see Jesus. What are you seeing? If we only walk in the valley, we miss it. If we don't take a regular opportunity to climb the mountain, we will miss the hope for the journey. Everything else is gone. All the trappings, the mist of the valley, replaced by the transcendent, mighty God who comes to save. He comes to give us hope. Into our dark world, we believe, real hope was born in Bethlehem's manger. As we sing, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The scripture says, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Jesus Christ is that one sure hope that we have in this world today. And here is why we believe in Jesus, that there are people of authentic hope. We have seen in our own lives the meaning of what the Scripture says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope," Paul says in Romans 15, verse 4. God's word of hope has lifted our eyes to see in Jesus that assurance that is absolute and certain. It tells us that God is for us, that He is the God of life, not a God of death, and that God's promises overcome aimlessness and despair. So we know that the world has many counterfeit hopes, but we have celebrated Christmas and Epiphany exactly because Jesus has made us people of hope. People who look to the future, people who know how history will turn out in spite of the news that we daily hear. And today, more confirmation of that hope that is ours in the word of this text. We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And we can say we were given hope. Hope on the mountain. Let us stay there and build. Why go back into the valley of hopelessness and despair? So, do you ever feel hopeless? Do you ever feel as though life is really a short end? With no purpose, no meaning. Today, more and more, we're hearing stories about mental health. The fact that people are living in hopelessness. Jesus was born for you. Christmas was your holiday. And every Christmas display you have seen this season has been a sign that God has not abandoned you, that your life has meaning in Christ, that you are valuable to God, and that in Jesus, born for us, crucified and raised from the dead, you have a future and you have a hope. This is an important message for our world today. Even for people who have come to the mountain looking for hope, but are living in despair, even contemplating suicide. You have come to the right place today. You have come to the mountain to accompany Jesus and to find the hope that He alone can provide. And today, we have the privilege to be on the mountain with Jesus and once again catch a glimpse of His majesty and His glory. It's our extension of the Christmas and Epiphany season, the Epiphany season, which comes to an end today. Even though we were sent back into the same world after every Christmas, after every Christmas service we attended. And even though we will come down from this mountain, we are filled with hope in Jesus to be agents of his lasting hope. And so we already end the Epiphany season at this Mount of Transfiguration. And we read, we are more ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Now we look forward in hope to ascend another mountain with Jesus during this Lenten season. We are people of hope in Jesus, for we have a sure word worth sharing. I have some books with me today that have been printed because the Lutheran Heritage Foundation believes the truth is worth sharing in printed form. And I can share with you today that after having been here last time to receive your special offering for the 150th anniversary of this congregation, we have some evidence that your offering has borne fruit. In this catechism, small catechism with the explanation in a strange-sounding language of Bemba, which is a southeastern Asia language, 5,000 copies have been sponsored according to the foreword of this book. And also the more familiar book, Child's Garden of Bible Stories, that we'll talk about in Bible class this morning as the new and improved edition of this particular volume. 5,000 copies, additional copies, in the Burmese language, being used prominently in your own neighborhood here in the city of Fort Wayne, where there's a Burmese population and congregation making ample use of this Burmese Child's Garden of Bible Stories. And more books that we'll talk about in the Bible class this morning. But not to leave you hanging on this thought that we look forward to sharing this great word of hope. Last time I was here, I shared with you a bookmark with the slogan, Jesus Never Fails. We explained how this came about. And now as an assist to the explanation of this fact, we have written this little booklet. It's meant to be used for witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross he was willing to take upon himself, to suffer, to die, and to rise. A simple little gospel tract. If you want to tell somebody about Jesus and are a little uncomfortable about talking about Jesus, this is a little booklet that can be put in your pocket, ready for any circumstance. Pastors are using these in hospital visits, nursing home visits, and with troubled people. And you can use this booklet as well in your ministry and your witness, as you tell people about being on the mountain and living in the valley and having hope, because we have a sure word of hope worth sharing. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life eternal. Amen.